chapters in the middle section. Any first-timers in the section to my right? I think we all know each other. We're going to go to our announcements this morning. There are several printed in the bulletin. It's been brought to my attention, too. Don't forget today at the church here at 2 o'clock, it's the shower, the wedding shower for Tommy Markham, better known as Hogman, and his lovely bride-to-be, Vicky. And the wedding, Saturday the 14th, it's coming up quick. If anyone wants to donate for their honeymoon fund or anything else, I think Elizabeth Hewitt's going to be taking up donations on that today. But shower today at the church at 2 o'clock. Any updates to some announcements that we have in there? There's several in the bulletin. Do we have any other announcements we need to bring to our attention this morning? Any other announcements? If not, I'd ask you to read over what we got in there. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of things coming up in the church, and that'll help get you to get to speed on that. If we don't have any other announcements, we're going to go to our prayer request this morning. We have a lot of folks on the prayer list. Do we have any updates? Anyone that needs to be added? Anyone that needs to be taken off the prayers of praise? Any prayer concerns this morning? Yes? All right. Thank you, John. Anyone else this morning? Prayer concerns? Yes. Go ahead, Bill.
Would you please add Johnny Baker to prayer list? Johnny had brain aneurysm surgery a week ago yesterday. He's doing well. He's speaking okay. He's sat up in bed. He's out of bill state. He's doing very well. But he does need your prayer. And his wife, Leanne, and I work together. And his wife's father, Dean Petty, has been on the prayer list. I'm not sure how those people see that still on there. D-E-N-E. And Dean has lung cancer. And so be sure and pray for Dean also. That whole family needs to pray for him.
Bill?
Joe and Jim Whittemore, they had a short-term career decision to make here yesterday.
Anyone else this morning? Any other person? Yes, no. Any other prayer concerns this morning? Anyone else? I'd ask if you would. There's those note cards in front of the pew in front of you there. If you'll write down your prayer person. Yes, Rose. Okay. Okay. But if you'll write down the person you've added to the prayer list this morning and put it in the offering plate when it's passed, that way we make sure we get the correct spelling. And we make sure that we get them added to the prayer list. And I would ask you and beg you that continue to pray for everybody on this list as often as you possibly can. That is the one thing we have, is the power of prayer.
He's out for his surgery Tuesday. He's here.
Okay.
And Marie Leonard. Son of a dentist, mom had surgery.
Yeah, Marie Leonard West, his surgery Wednesday.
I have a praise, Mom. 75-year-old Mom has returned from a 2-week mission trip to Bolivia.
Wow.
Safe and sound, and she had a wonderful, wonderful experience. They helped build a wing to a clinic there, and I'm just really proud of her for doing that because it took guts, and I think it was harder on her 2 daughters than it was her because we were worry warts. But she said to highly recommend a mission trip to anybody in this congregation, that it changed her life. And also, if you keep Jennifer Spring Garrett Scales in your prayers, he's in Fallujah. And in the last 2 weeks, there have been 2 guys in his unit killed.
Any other prayer concerns? Again, I'd ask you to pray for those as often as you possibly can. And we're going to prepare ourselves for worship this morning. If you'll bow your heads and join me in a moment of silence, please. Amen. Time for our call to worship. It is responsive. It is printed in the left-hand side of your bulletin, if you would join with me. Give glory to God. Worship the Mighty One in the splendor of holiness.
The voice of the Holy One is full of power and majesty. In God's temple we cry glory.
Let us worship God.
Let's all stand and turn in our hymnals to hymn 479. Onward, Christian Soldiers.
Thank you.
prayer. It's a great song, a song that might have had more truth to it a number of years ago than it does now. Last report in the newspaper a few weeks ago, maybe even a couple of weeks ago, that the church, because of Christianity, is losing ground. Somebody described it, we're losing the battle. We've quit acting like soldiers for Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that You will help us to see our purpose and our need and the need of the world. Lord, we thank You for allowing us to be a part of Your kingdom and Your work. Lord, we pray for guidance that we might be soldiers marching forward. And Lord, what appears to be a time of losing ground, Lord, let it be a time of regrouping, that Your church universal throughout the world, will catch the fire that's mentioned throughout Your Scriptures. But Father, that we will be on fire for You. Lord, we pray for Your Spirit to be with us this morning to teach each of us, to bless us as we come to table, to help us through every song that we might honor You through our singing. Help us through every act of this experience that we have here in this place that we call Your sanctuary. And now, Father, we come just praying as Your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And I think you're supposed to still stand. Thank you.
A couple of years ago, maybe three, we went through a study here at the church called Experiencing God. One of the main themes of that study is the fact that God's work goes on. We have to decide if we're going to join Him and do part of that work with Him. Now, one way to do that is to plug into the power. Have you ever gotten ready to use a power tool and realized you didn't have it plugged into the electricity? Doesn't do you any good if you don't plug into that power. There's power in the blood. We're going to sing 1, 2, and 4, but there might be a couple of changes along the way.
Okay.
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or me a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Now for verse 2, instead of saying power twice in the chorus, we're going to say it 4 times. Here we go.
Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for the tempting to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Okay, verse 4. And there's unlimited power with God.
Amen. Amen.
But we're going to use 8 this time instead of 4. And don't spit on your neck.
Would you be servants for Jesus your King?
There's God in the blood, God in the blood. Would you lift daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, a wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, a wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Anybody want to go for 16? I didn't think so.
Be seated, please.
We now express our faith in God with our statement of faith. It's the Apostles' Creed. It's number 716 in the back of your hymnal. If you'd join me in unison, please. I believe in God
the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven
and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and never shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Turn the hymn of now, if you will please, to hymn 506. We'll sing first and last stanzas.
Children's time, and remember, there is no children's church this morning because we're having communion. So if you'll stay here in the sanctuary, please.
Now, Make it to shine. We're having the elders come forward now, John and James, Pete, John. People, Julie, Richard. We have one more active elder at this time. Louis, will you come and assist? The Last Supper that Jesus ate with His disciples before His crucifixion. He ate again after His resurrection. What did they do? They remembered. The purpose of the supper was to remember the Exodus, the Passover. They had been slaves in Egypt. Jesus' and His disciples' ancestors had. And through the leadership of Moses, who was led by God, they became free people. They escaped. The night they escaped, they had unleavened bread, but their redemption was the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb was crucified, killed, slaughtered, and His blood was spread or smeared over the door of each Hebrew's house to distinguish the Hebrew home from the Egyptian home. The blood saved the people, God's people. They wanted to remember that. The unleavened bread, something you could take in a hurry, run with. They remembered that. Jesus met with the disciples. They remembered the Passover when the angel of death passed over those houses, smeared with blood over the door. They remembered it, and as they remembered, Jesus instituted a supper by which we, His followers, could remember Him. We call it the Last Supper. We call it the Lord's Supper. We call it communion. Hopefully we commune with Him. As they were eating together, Jesus and the disciples, He instituted His supper right before He was to be killed. Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." See, Jesus was going to leave that upper room and go out into the garden. There He'd be arrested. There His body, soon His body would be broken. His blood would be shed to free us from the bondage of sin, from the clutches of Satan. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you're trusting in Jesus' death to pay for your sin, His resurrection for your eternal life, you're invited and encouraged to eat and drink from His table this day, remembering His broken body that made it possible, His shed blood that made it possible. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Your table, a table spread with bread and the fruit of the vine, bread that represents Your body, fruit of the vine that represents Your blood. And Lord, we come remembering We come in thanksgiving. We come in praise to you. And we're humble before you, O God. Now we pray for you to bless this bread and bless this cup as we partake, that it might be nourishment for our spirits. In Jesus' name. Amen. Julie, would you eat of the bread, remembering His body broken for you? And drink of the cup, remembering His blood shed for you. Let God's people eat, remembering the broken body, the shed blood for you. Holy God, again we offer thanks to Christ Jesus. Amen.
We now express our thanks to God with the presentation of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Our offertory sentence this morning is taken from Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak. Remembering the words of Lord Jesus Himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." If the ushers would please come forward.
Thank you.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the 29th Psalm, verses 1 through 9. You can follow along in your Bibles or just print it in your bulletin. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in His temple, all cry, Glory! The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
I have one request. Susan, our daughter, has already been mentioned once this morning. She, my understanding, she never had any intention of being a preacher. But she went to seminary, and somehow people wanted to come and speak to them and preach to them. And this morning, for the 11 o'clock hour, she's going to Rocky Glade. So she should be there now. And just lift her up in prayer, too. This is her less than a dozen times that she has preached in a church from a pulpit. So lift her up. Another thing, it may be a confession. It may just be information. This sermon was prompted by a book that I read by Max Licato or Licato, however you say it, I'm not sure. It is chapter 3 in his book, It's Not About Me. And so I just wanted to let you know that I have borrowed a great deal for this sermon and kind of put, I guess, my own flavor to it as much as I could. And hope you won't be disappointed, but it was so meaningful to me, I wanted to share it with the congregation, and we might look more at this subject from this book and from other areas. There are some suggestions here that shed new light on some things that I already knew, and some things that I didn't know. So I don't want to claim that I already knew them all. So if you find this, the basic outline in a book, I trust you got an outline this morning, if you'd like one. Some people come in and says, where's your little sheet? And so, if you don't have it, it's there. If you find it in a book, I want to tell you where I got it. I don't want to be accused of plagiarism, because that's stealing and lying, is it not? But if you give credit, it's okay. Now, I wonder how you would say it this morning. Glory to God. And you just heard me say it, but if you would say it, how would you say it? And I'd like for two or three of you to just say that phrase aloud, glory to God. Okay, let's have one at a time now. I heard Rose, I guess. Did y'all hear Rose? Say it again, Rose.
Glory to God.
Okay. How would somebody else say it? Maybe somebody over here. If you were saying glory to God, giving glory to God. Say it again. I was talking.
Glory.
Okay, I was trying to be quiet and couldn't get shut up quick enough. Somebody over here.
Glory to God.
Okay. And that's, some people might even say, glory to God. Kind of pull out the R's in glory. Maybe somebody else would say it with a different emphasis on a letter or a portion of it. I think they're all right. I don't know if you can be wrong when you're bringing glory to God. Our number one purpose in life. Might start by saying what it is not, and then go to what it is. What is our number one purpose in life? It's to glorify God. The catechism, and I mentioned that, and people think you've said a dirty word sometimes. You know, Catechism, a series of questions and answers about the things of God. Or that's what I'm referring to. The Westminster Confession of Faith has two catechisms, a larger and a shorter. I don't know why they didn't say larger and smaller or longer and shorter, but they said larger and shorter. And both of them began the first question at the beginning. They began with the beginning. What's the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Our number one purpose is to glorify God. Did you know that? Is this something new? Maybe you learned something new this morning. To glorify God. Not to get rich. Not to build a pretty house. Not to be a good husband. All those are important. Maybe we don't need to be rich. Riches has ruined so many people, hadn't it? But to glorify God, our first and foremost purpose is to glorify God. Paul, the Apostle Paul, seemingly had a special connection with God the Father through Jesus Christ, following his experience on the road to Damascus. And he says of God, of Him, oh, Paul was that deep thinker, of Him, of God, and through Him, through God, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Then he wrote to the Corinthians a similar passage. Same idea. 1 Corinthians 11:31. He says, Whatever you do. Now think of the things that you have done already today. And think of the things that you did yesterday. And whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And if you can't be for God's glory, should not we say we should not do it? If it would be to His detriment. We cannot do better than glorify God. If we want to do the greatest thing that we can do, we'll be glorifying God. We can't do better. Nothing can top it. What are we talking about? Glory. Where does the word come from? First, let me ask again. I did this a few weeks ago, I think, but let me ask again. Do we have a Hebrew scholar here this morning? You can help me if you do, if you are. If you know Hebrew. Okay, I guess you'll have to depend on me. And I have to depend on what somebody else said. But the word glory is from a root word which means heavy or weighty or maybe a heavy weight or important. The word glory is from a word that means something is important. And God's glory celebrates His significance. How significant is He? It was of no significance or of great significance, of great importance in our life. God's glory celebrates His uniqueness. And God's glory celebrates His one of a kindness. God is one, and there is none other like Him. And giving glory to Him celebrates that, or observes that, or acknowledges that. Moses prayed. Exodus 15. I believe that is listed as one of the supporting scripture passages. Who among the gods is like you? Moses lived among a people who worshiped many gods. So he asked the question, who among these gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you? And then he tells us something about God. Who is like you? Majestic in holiness. Is there any other God that you know that the other people in the surrounding neighborhoods are worshiping? Is any other God that you know of majestic in holiness? Holiness being set apart, different, special, divine. Who is like you, awesome in your glory? Who is like you who works the wonders, working these wonders? And we read about some of the wonders that God worked in Israel. The psalmist talked about it, making the cedars skip. Even Lebanon itself skipping. So the question he asked as he prayed to God, who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? And the obvious answer is no one. There's no one like God. He is one of a kind. There's none other like Him. Now let's think of giving glory to God. God's glory. His preeminence. God is priority, or He ought to be. What has priority in your life? God desires that place. Giving God glory, or receiving glory from God's people, is God's priority. He desires that we offer Him glory, that we celebrate, that we acknowledge, that we honor, that we respect His person like no one else. Max Lucado suggests that if God had daily staff meetings, some of you worked, or maybe work where you have daily staff meetings. Well, Lucado suggests that if God had daily staff meeting, the meeting would center around one question. And God would be asking the question. He called all His angels, all His saints in, all of His workers in heaven in. And He had one question that He would ask them. Today, I want us to consider how we can reveal My glory today. How can we reveal My glory today? Our Lucado suggested that God might even have a to-do list. Things to do today. How many has a things to do today list? Some of you do. I keep thinking about it. Okay? Some people plan their work. If God had a things to do list, it would consist of one item. There's one thing that we will do if God was making up the list. That is, reveal His glory. Reveal His glory. Lucado continues suggesting that on the wall of heaven, there is a picture frame, and this picture frame has in it the purpose statement of God, God's purpose statement. And we have a purpose statement for the church. Our purpose is to glorify God. We've been saying that for years and years and years. Top of your bulletin, right under the date, our purpose is. But it says, if God had a picture frame, and in that picture frame contained His purpose on the wall of heaven, if heaven has any walls. He says, His framed and mounted purpose statement that hangs in the angel's break room would read, declare My glory. Declare My glory. God's purpose is to showcase Himself. Now, don't say He's a show-off yet. God's purpose is to showcase Himself. But if He wants to be a show-off, that's okay, because He's God. Okay? But He's not. God's purpose is to showcase Himself. He instructed Moses, Leviticus 10, 30, verse 30, By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. How do you regard God? Just another man upstairs? Or just some man upstairs? Or the old man? Some people have some disrespectful terms for God. I think I mentioned this a bit last Sunday. Those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy by them. And before all the people, I must be glorified. That was God's word to Moses. He must be glorified before all the people. And he was to be glorified and was glorified even through Pharaoh. At the communion table, we mentioned the captive Israel in Egypt. Pharaoh was in charge. But then Pharaoh got defeated, did he not? But then Pharaoh, he agreed to let the people go after, 10 plagues? And he let them go, and then he changed his mind. And he says, no, we can't let all these slaves go. Election year must have been close, huh? There wasn't any election year, you can bet. He said, we got to go get those slaves back. Who's going to do all the work around here? And so they started out to get the 600,000 slaves, men, and then the women and children. Over 1 million people going to go bring them back. And they got to the Red Sea. And the Israelites were going along, and the Egyptians were in hot pursuit. And see, God had hardened Pharaoh's heart. God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. He will come after them, pursue the Israelites. But then God says, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all of his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Those Egyptians that were not drowned. See, God's people got through on dry land, through the sea, got through on dry land. The Egyptian army got into the river. The waters came back and flooded them all. How many have heard that story before? Did I tell it halfway right? Well, it was one of the first stories you heard in Sunday school and Bible school. How many jokes have you heard about the Pharaoh's army and Moses and how little boys thought it was impossible? Went to Sunday school, came home, and his mother said, what did you learn? And he told this terrible story. And she said, son, is that what you really learned? And the little boy said, no, that wasn't what I really learned. But if I told you what they really told me, you wouldn't believe it. And it was the story of Moses that they had told him about. But the Egyptians acknowledged God as God and as powerful and as in control because of what happened at the Red Sea, even with Pharaoh and his hard heart. So I've asked for years and years and years, why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? And this verse may be the answer to that. It's beginning to be. He hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would pursue the Israelites, but he would gain glory. God would gain glory for himself through Pharaoh and that drowned army. Through the events at the Red Sea, and every kid in every Sunday school that's been, at least a month in Sunday school has probably heard about Pharaoh and Moses and the Red Sea. The heavens exist. Why? Why do the heavens exist? The scriptures say to reveal or to declare the glory of God. About 3 weeks ago, Sunday afternoon, evening, right before dark, I believe it was Sunday, do you remember looking northwest and seeing this amazing sunset? Probably the prettiest sunset I've ever seen, and I think I've seen a lot of them. But then a starry night, when we go out on a starry night, or even a cloudy night, and look up into the heavens, to the sky. The heavens exist to declare the glory of God. God created the Israelites, a whole people. He called Abraham to be the father of a nation. A nation that would number more than the grains of sand on the seashore. And he called this people to glorify him. He created them for his glory. Isaiah 43, verse 7. And he says that even people's struggles and troubles glorify God. You say, how can my sickness glorify God? Or how can my trouble glorify God? Isaiah 48, 10 and 11, speaking of Israel, we read these verses. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I will act. For God's sake, or for His honor and for His glory, He will act through somebody's affliction. In Psalm 50, verse 15, God says, trust me in your time of trouble, and I will rescue you. And you will give me glory. And I want to stop here a moment and hope it's okay with Mary Jo. I did not ask. But her sister continued to glorify God by the life that she lived in the most trying time that most of us have seen anybody to go through. And I want to affirm that today also. We can, in our troubles, in our sicknesses, stay with God, and we bring Him glory. Jesus taught, and if He taught, He still teaches. Jesus teaches us to make God's reputation top priority in our life. In that prayer that we've prayed already today, the Lord's Prayer, what does He teach us? To pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, Your name is holy. Hallowed be thy name. Someone said it's every act of heaven, everything that goes on in heaven, glorifies God. Someone pointed out everything that Jesus did on earth brought glory to God. Everything that Jesus did brought glory to God. Revealed His glory. The Hebrew writer says that the Son, Jesus, the Son, reflects the glory of God. Even in His moment of trial, Jesus prayed. Here was His prayer to the Father. It was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify Your name. That was His desire. That was His wish. He didn't say, save me. He said, glorify Your name. In His high priestly prayer, John chapter 17, Jesus prayed, talking to God. He says, God, I have brought You glory on earth by completing the work that You gave me to do. I have brought You glory by completing the work that You gave me to do. Isaiah 48, verse 11, in the version of the scripture called The Message, that verse reads, I have my reputation to keep up. God wants us to get his reputation out. He has a reputation to keep up. What people think about him. That's what a reputation is. God's goal. God. Why does God promote himself? Isn't it just a little bit self-centered? Maybe egotistical? This self-promotion that we've been talking about? Well, God does not reveal himself and his glory for his own good. God reveals it for our good. We need to see the glory of God, or a bit of the glory of God, for our own good, for ourselves. What if God kept quiet about who he was? What if God didn't reveal anything about being a caring God, a loving God, a mighty God, a helping God, a wrathful God? What if God just kept quiet about himself and nobody knew anything about God? We'd be pretty ignorant about God, would we not? Lakato describes it as being like if God kept quiet, would be like a pilot on a rescue boat. Lifeboat. And the big boat has sunk or is sinking. And people are floundering around in the water. And they're cold. And they're fearful. And they're screaming. And they're wet. And here comes the lifeboat and the pilot. And he just glides through them very quietly. Do we want a pilot like that? Lakato suggests that if God kept quiet about his glory, he'd be like this pilot on the lifeboat. We won't, if we're in the water, if we're drowning, if we're struggling, if we're freezing, if we're drenched, if we're going down maybe for the last time, we want a pilot on the lifeboat that will say, "Hey, over here, over here, hold on, I'm coming to get you." We need to know that God is able to save us. We need to know His power and His might. We need to know His love and care. We don't want Him to come by and hit us on the head with a paddle, do we? We want Him to bring us in, to reach out and help us in. And that's really what God did through Jesus Christ. So keeping quiet about Himself would be like this pilot who kept quiet as his boat floats around the drowning shipwrecked passengers. But the pilot's purpose is to call out to the passengers, to say to those in danger of drowning, "I'm here, I have room for you, I will save you." And don't we want God to do the same for us? And that's what God does. Are we drowning in any kind of a sea? Maybe a sea of guilt, or a sea of anger, or a sea of despair? We want to see God and His glory. We want to know that God loves us. And we want to know that God is reaching out for us. We want to know that God can save us and will save us. And we want Him to reach out and lift us into the boat. We need the strong hand of God to pull us to safety. But if we don't know, if somebody hasn't revealed God's strength to us, we won't know that He can save us. And then when we're safe in the arms of Jesus, our priority becomes promote God, reveal God's glory, tell others about God, call other drowning people, call other lost people, call other people in danger of perishing, just to trust in God the Father through Jesus the Son. Thank you, Father. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you, Father, for somebody sharing your glory with us. And we
We know that you can save us and we've trusted you. Father, there are many who have not yet trusted. And Father, we need to reveal your glory that they might know you and trust you. And we pray that you would so direct our lives, encourage us, inspire us, motivate us, and enable us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number 66, the first and the fourth, and let's stand together and sing, "To God be the glory." Number 66.
Thank you. you.